is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Well, good to have you with us here on what kind of a soggy Wednesday afternoon. Great to have you here. A good day to just hang out with the radio and listen to what your neighbors have to say about issues important to you and to your community, to your family, what have you. 360-676-5464 is our phone number, or just those that are interesting to you. Doesn't really matter what the heck is on your mind. We want to hear from you. 360-676-5464. You can also text us at that number. And just still looking and, you know, seeing the coverage of the tragic bridge collapse there in Baltimore early yesterday. A giant ship hitting it at a critical support. The thing just coming down just in seconds. Incredible to watch. And you stop to think how much, I mean, we think about things like this in monetary terms. Of course, there were lives lost and still people missing in this. A couple of bodies reported having been found. But you think about the cost of this. It's astronomical. I mean, billions and billions of dollars. You just the structure itself, of course, the ship, but then so many people impacted by this, from the other shipping companies that are and the other businesses there in that port of Baltimore, the companies, the industries that ship products in and out of that port, and just the impact. It's pretty incredible. And it makes you, I guess, stop and realize that there are some issues, some problems that are just so big that they really do require, I think, intervention by the government, by us. I mean, taxpayers are going to carry a good amount of the load, you got to think, of recovering from this. Just think of the salvage operation that's getting underway. And just what that would cost, and it's daunting. But I'm not sure if I have my call screener is in place. I know she's busy doing a couple of things. So we got folks in place, so we're good to go here on KGMI Connects. And our number once again 360-676-5464. And as I said, you can text me at that number too. But I hope you call, because then we can have a conversation. But we usually make Jim wait. So let's get going with Jim right out of the gate. Jim in Seattle. Are you in Seattle today, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I began talking about the collective. I began talking about the collective, and that's kind of your realm.
Well, that's and quite a bit. I believe in cooperation more than competition, but that's clearly not winning right now. Although people learn their lessons and they can cooperate for selfish reasons, but I prefer altruism. Brotherly love, that's a nice thing, but achieving that is a little harder than, as we know from history, is not that easy. So should I go ahead with my rest of my commentary?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I listened to Dennis Prager, you know, and he, one of the things, aphorism or a syllogism, I'll have to look in the dictionary, but what he comes up with, these erroneous things, in my opinion, of course, he says that people are afraid of the left, they are not afraid of the right. Now, before I give the definition I wrote down or the examples that I wrote down, I have heard before in my left readings, that it's pretty obvious in some ways that the wealthy they dread the socialist prospect, the specter of socialism, the way that poor people and middle class dread the fascism of the right. So that's kind of even up there. There's no real benefit. But let's go into some examples. General Pinochet, who overthrew Allende, he slaughtered and tortured people. He was a far right winger. And he ruined the economy, so he was really good to his people, wasn't he? And no one was afraid of him. And then there's Allende, who he overthrew and killed, left taken on the chin.
Right.
And let me mention one more, and then we'll go on. There's a guy named Juan Posada Carriles who blew up an airliner that had Cubans on. About 73 people died, and he lives happily. I think he's dead now, but he lived ever happily ever after in Florida. Well, Noriega, according to Michael Parenti, shakes down corporations. 5,000 of his supporters were killed in Panama. Panama. They were killed, and then they took him to prison. Drug dealers elsewhere, like in Honduras and Guatemala, El Salvador, got away with it. So thanks for letting me make those points.
Now, who made the statement about the people don't fear the right, but they fear the left?
Who? Dennis Prager, just a little while ago.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, yeah, I see. And
I'll ask yourself this too: is Trump, all of us lesser evil Biden supporters? And I'm not saying we should vote for Biden, but he may be the best alternative. But we're much more afraid of Trump in this country than we are of, you know, who was the one that tried to hijack the country there on January 6th. It wasn't the left wingers. You know, us meek little left wingers. We want altruism. You know, we're not out there talking about dictatorships and, you know, just violence unlimited when it comes to Donald Trump and people on his side, you know. And
All right. Thanks, Jim.
That's my. By the way, answer me this: Panama City is the capital of Panama, right? Or
I guess. I
wanted to do that because I was really trying to stickle myself there to be accurate, but it was Panama that Noriega got lifted out of.
Noriega.
Under the first
George Bush presidency. Yeah,
George Bush one, who, according to Michael Plenty, believes in the elitist point of view. That's why he went in and got Noriega, because Noriega was actually, contrary to many people's belief, was a leftist. And he did, according to Michael Plenty, shake down the corporations to help feed the poor and house the poor and all that. And that is not acceptable to most of our administrations over time. So,
but did he facilitate drug smuggling?
That's
what he was charged with. And he was convicted of that in a U.S. courtroom. I guess you could say it was a kangaroo court,
yes.
But because he was an ally of the United States for a good stretch before was determined that he was facilitating drug trafficking. So I don't know, once again, that he's a guy we want to would want to cozy up to or rehabilitate his
character. Not necessarily, but, you know, there's right wing, as Michael Perny points out in his book, Black Shirts and Reds. Right wing violence is much more prevalent than left wing violence in the world. You know, the brown shirts and the SS and all that, they were right wing. And then you have the NKVD and Soviets.
But once again, Jim, I say this to others, too, that, you know, you can't equate the right in the United States with the right and the left with these different figures, these dictators around the globe or what have you. Or, I mean, it's, you know, all leftists in the United States aren't Che Guevara and all rightists aren't the Shah of Iran and some of these
fortunately
people. So I think we have to keep that in mind, but appreciate your call, thanks for that. And as far as Dennis Prager, I mean, he's going to paint everything as being, you know, the right is always right and the left is always wrong. I mean, that's just that's his tune. But okay, thanks for that. Let's go to Rod in Bellingham. Hi, Rod. Are you there, Rod?
Hi, Joe.
Hey, do I have the right? Yeah, Rod, right? Oh, Rod and Lyndon, I'm sorry.
Rod and Lyndon.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, what's on your mind today, Rod?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, I was thinking about that concert in Russia and just what a terrible thing that was, and the shootings. And
right.
How many concerts have you been in your lifetime?
Countless. That's why my ears ring. All the time, you know.
What was your favorite concert you went to?
Oh, my favorite. I don't know. I've seen so many and pretty amazing ones, but I don't know. The original Talking Heads, that was an amazing one, when just in a small venue. Saw the
saw
dead
them up at the college.
Okay, yeah, that's why I saw them at CU in Boulder. I saw saw the dead Kennedys in Chicago, right, in their heyday. I saw Frank Zappa back in the day. That was one of my favorite shows. It was pretty amazing.
Okay.
You know, just to give you an idea. But I've seen, just did it recently. I saw Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper last year, and Alice Cooper was amazing. I was thinking, I bought the tickets because I wanted to see Rob Zombie, and then
sure.
Alice Cooper put on a heck of a show. I was thinking, he's an old guy, but it'd be good to see Alice Cooper again. He put on a great show.
I saw him a long time ago.
It'd been years and years since I had seen him, and I thought, it'd be cool to see him again. But it was an amazing show. He did just reeled off all his hits. His voice was great. He had energy. He was really good. So I don't know. Just kind of got on a track there. But
I've been hearing these little comments about how we need to get together or things like work together to solve problems. And I'm thinking, you're calling up from songs from the 60s and 70s. I mean, Get Together was a Jesse Colin Young song, and Work Together was a Canned Heat song. I saw both of them, and Jay Giles, Dr. Hook. I saw Led Zeppelin twice in 3 days.
Wow. Nice.
Saw him in 73, I believe. Saw him in San Diego. Then went up to L.A. and saw him in the Forum. And I've seen Steppenwolf and saw The Who on the Tommy Tour, Jethro Tull, Ario Speedwagon, Canned Heat, Santana, Foghat.
Yep.
George Thorogood up at the college. I've seen Springsteen, U2. Quicksilver and Messenger Service, but my favorite of all was Johnny Winter and B.B. King down at Bubbershoot.
I bet that was amazing, yeah.
That was my favorite. My worst one that I went to was the Grateful Dead.
Really?
Yes, it was down in at the King Dome in the early 80s, and the place smelled so strong of body odor and patchouli. And I was down on the floor, and it made me realize why all the hippie chicks were raising their arms up in the air and dancing. And I realized that was just to air out their hairy armpits.
Okay. All right. Wow.
But yeah, no, my favorite was B.B. King. I'll never forget that. Even though Buddy Guy is my favorite blues player, I just love B.B. King.
All right. I bet that was an amazing show. And Johnny Winter
with Johnny.
He was a virtuoso. Yeah. Great blues guy.
Today, I don't know if I would want to go to a big concert like that with things like this happening with so many radicalized groups out there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like anything. I mean, this happened. We had the terrible attack on the Bataclan theater there in Paris. There was the bombing at Ariana Grande concert in London.
Right.
I think it was in London.
Right.
And but there's three shows that were attacked out of countless shows that have gone on. So we can't live our lives in fear.
I choose the wrong one.
Oh, nah. You've done pretty well. Thanks, Rod. Good to talk with you. All right.
Take care, Joe.
You too. And we'll take a quick break and be back with more. We got Rich, Bob, Lou, and we want to hear from you here on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Benjamin Franklin was a scientist, inventor, journalist, philanthropist, and the namesake of our school, the Franklin Academy in Bellingham.
Jackson loves kindergarten, and what more could you ask for than a positive and exuberant experience to build a foundation for a lifetime of education? Students get weekly time with specialists in Spanish, library, music, physical education, and science. During our tour, we noticed that we knew quite a few Franklin families already, and after reaching out to them and receiving glowing recommendations, it was an easy choice.
We have small class sizes so I get support from my teacher. I love that we have daily math, writing, and literacy time, and I get to do hands-on STEM projects weekly too.
Hi, I'm Natalie, the admissions director here at Franklin Academy in Bellingham. We are a STEM-certified school for students from preschool through 8th grade. Looking for a small class size and personalized education for your student? we invite you to visit thefranklin.academy and book your tour today, or just give me a call.
A weekend ride on your street bike. Exploring the backcountry in your new side-by-side. Mountain biking on your favorite trails. Spring is here, and it's time for some high adrenaline fun. When it comes to outdoor play in the Northwest, nobody beats Mount Baker Motorsports in Bellingham. They have an extensive selection of new and used road bikes, dirt bikes, and ATVs, and side-by-sides for work and play, personal watercraft, and now featuring electric mountain bikes from Gas Gas and Husqvarna. Mount Baker Motorsports also offers excellent financing options, an extensive parts and accessories department, apparel for every riding season, and a service team for all repairs and upgrades to your current toys. Start your spring adventures with a visit to Mount Baker Motorsports on the corner of Iowa and Woburn in Bellingham, or check them out online at mountbakermoto.com. Mount Baker Motorsports, Whatcom County's premier power sports dealer, featuring Arctic Cat, Kawasaki, KTM, CF Moto, Husqvarna, and Gas Gas.
This is Caden Jolston's Don't Put All Your Eggs in One Basket. Bounce to Hinton Chevrolet when there's no bunny business.
Hinton Chevrolet, doing business with a tradition of trust since 1947. Located on the Guide in Linden, across from McDonald's, or online at hintonmotors.com.
Why West Edge Credit Union? Because they're all about the community. Of course I like that West Edge has low interest rates and loan specials. But what I really love is that West Edge partners with local nonprofit and City of Bellingham organizations. Plus they put on events like Community Shred. And they talk to me like I'm a real person, not an account number. West Edge really cares.
Join West Edge Credit Union today. West Edge is federally insured by NCUA. West Edge Credit Union, on the corner of James and Alabama in Bellingham.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday afternoon, and we go right back to the phones. Rich in Ferndale joins us. Hi, Rich.
How's it going today, Joe?
Doing all right. Thoughts on the ABC Recycling?
Well, yeah, you know, they've been in the news a lot lately, and we hear mostly negative things about them. You know, they're breaking EPA rules, and the port commissioners voted unanimously to end the contract, and the public is very upset, and on and on and on. And that seems to me to be one side of the story. And it would be really nice to hear, like, say, a representative from the company, or at least a press release from them or something. You know, what is going on? Like, what is the violation that they're committing with the EPA? Are they releasing tons of mercury into the water? Are they dumping oil in the water? Or did they do a paperwork error? You know, I mean, like, it's pretty vague. EPA violation. It needs a little more specific than that, because I don't know what to make of it. And the Daily Poll backs that up. 38% of people said they don't have enough information to weigh in on whether or not this is a good or a bad thing that they're leaving.
Well, and we've been following this on our website and on the air too. And I've talked with Riley Sweeney. He's a spokesperson for ABC Recycling.
Okay.
And
well, what does he say about it?
Well, and he's explained that they've admitted that there haven't been paperwork errors. They have had some runoff issues. I don't have the specifics right in front of me, so I'm not gonna try to recall if I can bring up the story, but you can find it on our website on mybellinghamnow.com. And we, one of our reporters did a long feature on it too. Emma did. And, you could find that there. But
I'll have to do a little more reading and hunting. Details of this.
And the company says that they're going to go forward with their efforts to build this metal shredder, which is really when this whole issue about ABC Recycling came to a head, when people heard about this metal shredder.
Shredder, evil word, bad shredder.
Well, and they're going to build it, and they want to build it in
enclosed
area that's going to be enclosed, and it's an area that is zoned for heavy industrial use. And I'm of the mind that, yeah, we can't say no to everything. I don't know that this would create a ton of jobs, but I mean,
are these separate sites, the shredder versus where they are now? Is it a different site?
Yeah. Yeah, what we're talking about,
Different property?
The shredder would be up where they hope to build it. It'd be up along Marine Drive, you know, where the old cement plant.
Northwest.
The old cement plant where the big smokestack, you know, up there west of the city, which is, it's in the county. It's not in the city proper.
That weird.
Yeah. And then what this whole issue has involved has been their operation there with scrap metal that they've apparently been receiving, and they've been shipping it out of the shipping terminal.
Barges. They accept it, and then it goes into a barge, and then it goes overseas.
Right.
Which, too bad we can't deal with it right here, but free trade has dictated that we do things overseas because we can't compete here. One of the negatives of the last 30 years of free trade is we've outsource so many things that we're not dependent on all these other nations, all to save a buck. But in the end, do we save the buck? Because we don't have the job. So, yeah, it might be cheaper, but we're losing tax base and employee taxes and employee benefits and all the other related things that go along with having these jobs.
Right. I understand that. But I would make the argument, too, though, that being tied economically to other countries tends to, well, tie us together and make us less likely. I mean, you look at, you know, sure, we have, you know, there's some animosity between us and China, but the economic ties are extremely close and profitable to both sides in many ways. So will that be something that will help to keep heads cooler when some of these other issues are?
It can work both ways, because if we have interest in China, something we really need, and they go to war, we're forced to defend them in war because we need XYZ stuff that we can't make from them. Same as other nations. We're pulled into conflicts because we need them for some product that we don't make here or some other reason. Some, you know, maybe Facebook has a huge factory, or they don't have factories, but, you know, some other tech company has some big ties, and then they lobby the government. Oh, we have to support them because we need this for our company, and if we don't have this, we're going to lose money, and then we won't be able to support your campaign, and it's just a big, fat trail of money, where if everything was in within our own borders, we could let people blow themselves up over there, and it wouldn't be our problem because we'd have no financial ties or any real reason to be involved with them. But we're so intertwined that I think it sucks us into conflict defend our people we like.
But it could work the opposite way and help keep us out of conflicts that we don't want to be that we don't want to have with some of these countries. But thanks, Rich. I appreciate your thoughts. I want to real quick go to Jim along the Mount Baker Highway. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How you doing, Joe?
You're very good. Very good.
You were talking about bands, and I just wanted to share this. So I'm from the Chicago area, and I moved out here in 1974. So I was five generations in the Chicago area.
Okay.
And there was a place that we saw the bands, and this was in the 65, 66, 67, 68. It's called the Electric Theater, and it was downtown Chicago on the Clark Street. Cool. And I was like 14, and I always wanted to go there, and my friend Joey Berman would always give me a ride. And I went there one time, if you remember the Vanilla Fudge.
Oh, yeah.
They had a song out, "You Keep Me Hanging On." Mm-hmm. And so I thought they were pretty good. You know, I want to go see them. And so we went there, and then they had these backup bands. Their first time over in England, and one was called Jethro Tull. And Ian Anderson I was like, wow, my God, you know, this guy's amazing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the next backup group was Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, and yeah. I was going to say, Led Zeppelin time, toured as the opening act, Vanilla Fudge, when their first time in the U.S.,
second time, they played in the Fillmore East, then they played in Chicago, and then went to Fillmore, you know, out in San Francisco. But, that was just the most amazing performance. Jimmy Page sat in a chair, I remember this, like for 45 minutes and did this amazing solo. And, it was just really, really great. And through the years, you know, I saw lots of bands, you know, but I won't get into that. But anyway,
how was the reception for Vanilla Fudge after people had experienced Led Zeppelin?
I mean, they had their couple of songs on, you know, WLS was our, you're from like Wisconsin area up there, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. We used to listen to WLS every, you know, that was our station, yeah.
So my favorite place was Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and there was a place called Majestic outside of Lake Geneva where all the bands played. You know, a lot of the Who and it was, you know, a lot of the I'm trying to think who else, but I can't remember. But Vanilla Fudge, after Led Zeppelin played, I mean, they had that first album out, and they just absolutely blew people's minds. You know, some people were listening to them and knew them, but I didn't know them. Uh-huh. I mean, Vanilla Fudge was like, you know, it was just nothing compared to...
I think we need a new opening act. Somebody who's not...
That's right. Hey, awesome. I think you do a good job, Joe, and that's all I got to say.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate your call. Yep. Awesome. Bye-bye. You have a great day. We'll take a quick break and be back with more. We got Bob and Lou. Thanks for hanging on. We got Kathy on the line, and we'll be with you in just a moment.
Hey, I just finished my spring carpet cleaning early this year thanks to the help of Swan's Clean Care and Restoration. Amazing as always.
Really? I'd love to have Swan's Clean Care clean my carpets, but isn't it expensive?
With Swan's, it's a lot less than you think. And with their new referral program, we'll both get a nice discount. Just go to their website, then call and tell them I sent you.
Fresh, clean carpets? Swan's, here I come. Hey, what's that website?
SwansCarpetCleaning.com, but hurry, it's only happening through May 31st.
You've got questions about your car or truck, and we have answers on KGMI's In the Shop. Dan from Bellingham Automotive, Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, and Kirk from Angler Automotive are here to help. And we have a great new way for you to get your questions or comments to them. Email them to intheshop@kgmi.com. Then listen each Saturday at 9 a.m. or check out the podcast at mybellinghamnow.com. Once again, that's intheshop@kgmi.com.
We all have our go-tos, right? The doctor you trust, the dentist you rely on, the restaurant you love. What makes them your go-to? It's trust, isn't it? Hi, this is Dan from Bellingham Automotive, your go-to for auto repairs in Whatcom County since 1991. Whether you're using your car for ride-sharing, delivery services, mobile office, maybe just a taxi for your kids and their friends, or it's just personal transportation, we're here to keep you on the road. We're proud to have a team of technicians and service advisors who have been with us for years. They can help you find that strange noise or figure out what that warning light is trying to tell you. They can perform regular maintenance to keep your car up to date and your new car warranty intact. We know you're busy, so we also offer a local shuttle service and an after-hour drop-off and pickup options to help take the hassle out of your auto repair. So if you don't have a trusted go-to for your vehicles, please give us a call at 360-676-5200. Or visit bellinghamautomotive.com to schedule an appointment.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for being with us here on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's go to Kathy in Bellingham. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi. I talked to Emma. She said you already know, but...
What's that?
I heard on Como that today is Joe Day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, my coworker said it's National Joe Day.
Yeah. do you know where it came from?
I don't. I'll have to look up the legacy of Joe Day, and I don't. I don't know why Joes deserve a day, but I'll take it.
Anyway, that's my contribution.
Thanks, Kathy. Yeah. Appreciate it. Right on. Let's go to Bob in Everson. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. Hey, just wanted to appreciate what you said about the far right to Jim. And made the differential, you know, that when you're talking about the far right, we're talking about extremists. And, you know, you can go back into Europe and the Nazis would have been considered far right, if I'm not, correct me if I'm not wrong there.
Right, and on the same, by the same token, I guess, you know, I mean, Stalin would be far left, would be a far leftist, I think, who did some really awful things, and Mao, and, you know, I mean, there's any number of examples on either side. I mean, I guess you'd call Pol Pot, that regime, a leftist regime.
So. Very bad. No, so I appreciate you making that point that, you know, when you say far right, that you're talking of about an extremist, right? And so, Jim, he brought up, you know, January 6th and the insurrection, which I, you know, I'm not going to get into that too much. But when the mainstream media talks about anybody from, you know, say that votes for Trump, they automatically, they always say the far right. It's a far right this and far right that. And it's just like, no, you're using, like you made just the point, they're using that out of context, that term. That's not everybody in that party. That's not everybody that votes for Trump. I mean, we've talked, you know, before, I've told you my past. I was a blue bleeding liberal voting Democrat my entire, you know, voting life, and I'm going to vote for Trump. I'm the furthest from a conservative that you would meet, right? So they got to get out of this, you know, putting this label on anybody that, you know, wants something different than, you know, the Democratic Party and what they stand for and what they're doing. That has nothing to do with being a right wing or a far right wing or even a conservative. It's just change. It's something different. And, you know, and people need to get away from that thinking that, you know, everybody's just this crazy extremist that would vote for Trump.
Well, what would make you vote for Trump as opposed and being a person who doesn't consider themselves a conservative? What issues, I guess, are pushing you that direction?
Yeah. So first off, and you know, like I talked about yesterday, the whole DEI, the diversity, the wokeness, when they're flying the pride flag at the White House, I mean, we have to get away from this kind of stuff. And, you know, that is the biggest thing. They've lost their plot when it comes to a lot of social issues. And I think they've pushed a lot of people away. That's why you have people like RFK and Tulsi Gabbard. And, you know, there's a lot of people that were Democrats that are, you know, Dave Rubin, you know, Dave Rubin. And there's all these people, they were, you know, card-carrying Democrats. They're just like, they've lost their minds. I cannot be a part of this party anymore for their views and how they push, you know, especially when it comes to the kids and the trans issues and all this stuff. And that's what's pushing people away. And that's what, you know, I talked about yesterday. It's just like this DEI stuff, it has to DIE, you know, we have to get away from this. We got to, you know, stop dividing based on,
I hear that, though, from, quite frankly, white people. I mean, they're the ones who are saying, we got to quit doing this DEI thing who are we to say what other people's experience is and their living experience in our society?
Vivek Ramaswamy, is he white?
No,
he's not.
Okay.
But you can take individual.
Exactly. Okay.
That's my point. Individuals. That's why I said yesterday.
But I don't think that we're at the point where we can declare our society completely fair and balanced, that it treats everyone their character rather than the color of their skin. Or I don't think we're at that point yet. Okay, and I don't think it's wrong to talk about that and to teach kids the history of our country and give them that knowledge so they can compare what it was like to what it is today and make their own decision. I mean, it's part of critical thinking. It's not just indoctrination.
It is, but there is a lot of indoctrination that goes into it. So you don't think that people that are from a, you know, say they're black or have from one of these marginalized communities that we're talking about, if they're telling you, we don't want, you know, is you're going to base off of a group of people. Which group are you going to base it off of? Because I know there's, you know, there's a lot of black Trump supporters. There's a lot of Hispanic Trump supporters. But my point is at what point do you say, well, this group needs to, because they're this color, so it matters what they say, but there's a whatever amount of them that are on the other side saying, no, I don't want to be put in this box. I want to be, you know, vote for a concert, you know? So it's just, how do you decipher what is right? You know what I mean?
When it comes to race, it's not an easy topic, obviously, to talk about and to discuss, but as evidenced by our conversations, that it goes, it kind of goes all over the map. It involves individuals. It also involves groups and how people are perceived because of how they appear and not their character. I mean, all these things are part of it. I understand that, you know, programs like quotas and the old busing programs, and that those are using a sledgehammer to deal with a problem or an issue that aren't always effective. Maybe they're effective for some, but not everyone. And they hurt, mm-hmm. and like any program, they hurt some. It's a difficult issue, but
I want to give you credit for, I appreciate you just, you know, letting that there's a difference between far right. And so I had another little something, but with, so as far as the, border and fentanyl.
Okay.
I saw the article you guys had on KGMI. They arrested six people, you know, in a drug ring, a drug bust.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you saw the names of those individuals, but I'm not making assumptions that they're illegal, but they definitely had names that were not American, you know.
They were Hispanic names.
I think they are
Mexican nationals.
Okay. So like I said, I'm not making assumptions there, but what I'm going to say is, and then also county council just passed, basically made fentanyl like a, you know, like a COVID, made it like a, they can make emergency declarations and on stuff because of fentanyl. And where do we think this fentanyl is coming from?
Well, it's one thing where it's coming from, but it's not.
Well, yeah.
But
it's
the main. Right. But there's
the main.
The fact is, though, there's a, it's like drugs since the beginning of time. There's a demand for them. So somebody is going to supply the demand. And, you know, I mean, we just had the story just today. We heard from the U.S. Attorney's Office down in Seattle that they've sentenced this fairly young man for from Maple Falls. Not a Hispanic surname, who has been involved and was found trafficking fentanyl, methamphetamine, other drugs. And so these people are involved in it too. You know, native-born Americans.
Not,
it's not just,
I'm not denying that. My point is that we have an open border right now that basically is just being inundated with thousands and thousands of people every single day, and they don't know who these people are. They don't know who's coming across the border. They don't know what's coming across
the border. Well, once again, immigration is different than drug interdiction, and they're two separate issues.
No, Joe, that's called illegal.
Okay. Well, we spent a lot of time here, Bob, but real quick, before we take a break, let's go to Lou and Lyndon. Hi, Lou.
Howdy.
What's on your mind today? Go ahead.
Very good. Now, a little housekeeping suggestion for you.
Okay.
When you start your show, announce how you're doing. Like, I'm doing great. I got a little head cold, and I found out my cat has fleas, so I'm not so good today. That way, every other goober who calls into your show won't ask you how you're doing.
All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And but I'm calling primarily today to defend Israel, stand up for Israel. Many of your listeners are familiar with the most widely published book in the history of the world, the book that's been in publication since the invention of the Gutenberg press 500 years ago. That's the Bible. Okay. Every copy of the Bible has a passage in Genesis to say, they who curse Israel will be cursed, but they who bless Israel will be blessed. Now, we have thousands of years of history to verify whether or not that is true. I can verify beyond any shadow of a doubt that that is absolutely true.
Okay.
Every empire and kingdom, everyone, every empire and kingdom that persecuted the Jews, killed the Jews simply because they were Jews, has disappeared into the ash heap of history. But every nation that helps the Jewish people and supports them, gives them equal rights, like the United States did, became a very powerful, rich, successful country. So if we look at history, it's very clear who we should be supporting in this war in the Middle East. It is undoubtedly Israel.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lou. You. Appreciate your call. Quick break and back with more. We got Michelle, Bruce, Tim, and we'll try to squeeze you into here on KGMI Connects.
Ulta Beauty's semi-annual beauty event is happening now. Unleash your love for beauty with 50% off daily beauty steals on hair, skin, makeup, and fragrance. Shop your favorite brands like Tarte and Fenty Beauty by Rihanna. Plus, grab perfect hair care pairs from brands like Redken and Olaplex. And check out new arrivals from brands like Charlotte Tilbury and Dyson. Shop the Ulta Beauty semi-annual beauty event online, in-store, or try pickup today. Now through March 28th. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful. Conditions apply.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, then Great News. Good news. While leaning over the fence, your neighbor said you could save money bundling home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. Your neighbor leaned over a little too much and broke your fence. Dumb news. Somehow fence wood is more expensive than wood wood. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and to plant really tall shrubs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Ready to build that new home? Do you want precision site preparations, seamless drainage systems, and sturdy house foundations? Honkoop Gravel is your answer. Experience is the difference of their full-service civil contractors and state-of-the-art heavy equipment. With over 45 years of service, they ensure quality done right the first time. Honkoop Gravel, the professional team you want for your next project. In Linden or at honkoopgravel.com.
At DeWarden Bodie, today is your last chance to get delivery and installation on select appliances by Easter weekend. Save big during their spring clearance on all ding and dent and blemished appliances, end-of-season closeouts, and floor models. Then get guaranteed delivery and installation on qualifying in-stock gas and electric ranges, over-the-range microwaves, dishwashers, refrigerators, and laundry sets. All with no money down and no interest financing up to 2 years on qualifying purchases. Only at DeWarden Bodie.
Staying connected with your community each Saturday at noon with KGMI's Community Connection as local business leaders share their expert advice. Sponsored by
Lighthouse Mission Ministries, Dewey Griffin Subaru, Feller Heating and Air Conditioning, Contact Counseling, and Guided Solutions.
Community Connection, Saturdays at noon on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. Let's go to Michelle in Bellingham. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Joe. I was going to congratulate you on National Joe Day, and I got beat to the punch.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
I can just still say it. And you know something? I knew about it, but I have no idea why that happened. But,
yeah.
You know, Joe used to probably be second only to John as a popular name back in the day. But now, you know, you've got Jacob and a lot of other different names that are, you know, Joe's not quite the same as it used to be.
Uh-huh.
So you're a rare bird these days.
That's right. Yeah, a rarer anyway. Yeah,
there you go. Anyway, what I wanted to say, I was referring to caller Bob. He inspired me to call. He was talking about he's going to vote for Trump even though he's not a conservative. Well, I personally have talked to dozens of people in the county and outside the county about that. And many of them, you know, talked to me about the huge mistake we made and I'm about to talk about Oregon education and Washington, too, the huge, huge mistake we made in closing, keeping the schools closed after, you know, mid-March to the end of May in 2020, that we understood, but the rest of it, no. And my relatives in Kansas, among them very many kids, none of them suffered because they only had, their school closes in May because of the farm thing, but they were closed about 2 months, and that was it. And then they refused to be closed, you know, when school restarted in September of 2020. And none of their kids suffered. I mean, they have no problem at all with their education system, from what I've been told many times. And what I wanted to say was, in Oregon, this is why equity is such a really horrible thing if it's used improperly. Now, equality of opportunity, I'm all for every single citizen of our country. And I even hope the immigrants can somehow find their way to that and eventually to become good citizens. But what I was going to say is Oregon is going to give a diploma. They apparently had a problem with they didn't feel they had enough black and brown students graduating high school, and they're going to give a diploma to every high school senior this year who actually, you know, was enrolled and in theory attended, although some don't very often. But anyway, they're giving a lot of diplomas out that haven't been earned, and that, in the interest of equity. Now, that to me is an utterly horrible thing because you're cheating many people in your community. You're cheating the kids by not making them accountable for anything they earn. You're cheating the businesses because a 2024 diploma from an Oregon high school may or may not mean anything. And, I mean, in more cases, it'll mean something than not. But still, it may or may not mean anything. And I don't think, and I've talked to several people about this, and everybody is just appalled, you know. And I feel totally, in addition to criminals being held accountable, all of them, I think that all students should be held accountable, all citizens. In fact, in talking about voting, I have voted in every single election that I was eligible to vote in for the past 55 years.
Okay.
Never missed one.
All right.
And I, at this point, this is the very... Now, I'll vote in the fall, you know, for senators and whatever. But this is the very first time that I don't know if I will vote for president. Because I don't detest Biden, but I think he's totally inept. And when it comes to Trump, I've never been a fan. I do agree with some of his policies, but I still have incredibly mixed emotions about him. And all I'm saying is that for the first time, I just want to make this one point, and I'll quit. For the first time in my voting life, I am not at all sure whether I want to vote for president as a matter of thing. I won't ever vote third party. That's a waste of time. But anyway, that's it, Joe.
Right.
Thank you, and happy Joe Day.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Let's go to Tim in Everson. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Joe. I want to ask you how you're doing.
Okay. Doing all right.
Well, I found it odd, first of all, before I get to my point, I found it odd that on the drug bust, on the illegal aliens that got busted with 3 pounds of fentanyl and a firearm, that you refer to them as Mexican nationals.
Okay. Well, I don't know what their status was, their immigration status was. Because they're Mexican nationals, I don't know what they...
I think in one of your reports or on the website, or maybe it was Whatcom News, it said alien in possession of a firearm.
Oh, that was one of the charges against at least one of the suspects. So
I just found that peculiar. But my main point was the whole DEI thing, and in the not too recent past, boy, is it coming down here now. In the recent past, you guys had a report that Inslee signed into law a DEI education program that would be taught in all public schools.
The most recent was the LGBTQ history would be taught in schools.
And
I just wonder, and I'm just wondering, and I don't even know what the curriculum is, but it was, as I heard it on your station, the report was a DEI education program would be taught in all public schools. So I'm wondering, because we've already seen an increase in private schools and homeschooling, and I'm wondering what this will do to the public school system, because I've been discouraged by it. And
okay,
the last levy was the first one I didn't vote for.
All right, Tim. I want to give Bruce a quick chance, and well, I guess you're asking and wondering. We'll have to look into that and see. But Bruce, real quick, you have some thoughts on music.
Well, yeah, probably won't have time to get it all in, so we'll probably make this a two-parter.
Okay.
But as far as maybe, I don't know if he was the best, basically you could say the best concert as far as rock concert I went to was the aforementioned Jethro Tull.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Jethro Tull a number of times, and amazing. I one of my all-time favorite bands.
Well, from all aspects, I mean, both what great tunes they wrote, but the professionalism of the musicians, and in an arena that wasn't known for great sound, Wings Auditorium in Kalamazoo, Michigan, their sound was superb. So well mixed, so well modulated. Yeah, I mean, totally a professional outfit in every way.
Uh-huh. And actually, Jethro Tull was my first real rock concert, as I can recall. I mean, as far as, you know, going and seeing a band, I saw a live performance, a touring performance of Jesus Christ Superstar, which was, you know, it was like rock opera, but I saw that when I was younger. But yeah, Jethro Tull was the first actual rock concert I saw.
Yeah. Well, and aside to that is, a few years back, I was living with a roommate who claimed that when he was out on the road hitchhiking around, Jethro Tull was young to America and traveling in a van, and they picked him up. You know,
wow!
And they were playing, and he said, and he innocently says, "Gee, you guys are good. You ought to, you know, form a band." And Ian Anderson put his hand out and says, "We're the Tull Band," you know.
Nice.
And I thought that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
But I want to talk about probably part two, the Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival that I attended.
We'll do it tomorrow. How's that?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks,
tomorrow,
Bruce.
Tomorrow or the next time I'm hanging on listening.
Sounds good. Anytime. Yeah. Give us a ring. And I think one of the most coolest concerts I ever saw was the original Blues Brothers, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, and the original Saturday Night Live band. They toured when that movie first came out. But I hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock.